Welcome to Critical Ditto, everyone's favourite Digimon podcast.
What? Oh, crap. I need to Google Digimon quickly if that's going
to be what we're
doing.
Everybody loves Digimon. I know you do too. We here at Critical Ditto Mon are huge, huge fans. I, Stuart, obviously. Yeah, been there since the start. A Bottomon, if you will, from day aught with my little Digimon V-Pet. The Dock and Lock, getting ready to battle. At rookie stage, champion stage, didn't matter for me because I just knew that my little mom was going to fire two of those attacks and knock out the other one. Love that and can't wait to do this podcast with my other Digifriends, my Digidestined, entering the digital world with me. I'm going to start with David. I'm going to play an easy one with David here. David, tell me how we're going to go today on this fantastic podcast.
How we're going to go today on this fantastic podcast? I don't even understand what that means.
What are we going to do? Who are we going to role play with today? Etamon? We're going to have some fun with Etamon, maybe? What a charmer.
Listen, Stu, I'd love to have some fun with Etamon.
Tell you what.
Don't look under the bed. Hello, I am David. I am one of the Digidestined with my partner Digimon, a very sardonic Renamon with no gender identity. It's Theo, otherwise known as Theodosia, a former member of the Church of Slowking, former member, but also currently has just defeated the leader and is currently in the Inner Sanctum. So, I mean, who's to say what's going to happen next? Theo has a team of six Digimon, Pokemon. I can't even think of comparisons between them.
Just add Mon.
Medichamon, Levanimon. Which one of these is going to turn into a horrible innuendo without realizing it? Kabutomon. Or that could just be a
Digimon. That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Maybe they'll Digivolve because they're never going to evolve. Jason the Combimon, Robaracklemon. And then there is Slowpokemon, who now that I've lost a team member to the innards of Ali Hill's character's brain might actually make an appearance. And on the subject of the innards of people's brains, Ali, how are you doing over there? Have you enjoyed your little Wikipedia search around the Digimon page?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I googled spooky Digimon. At number 9 in the spooky Mon Digimon list from thegamer.com, we've got Clockmon, which I was like, that's hilarious.
Mate, what is more spooky than the ever-encroaching mortality of our lives, eh?
Clockmon, colon, the time stealer. So, and speaking as someone who has gone back in time, I felt like that was appropriate.
That's fair.
Yeah, I am playing the Digimon, otherwise known as Kenny Mullet. He was on a quest to sort out his poker powers, and now he's on a quest to save Formia. He's got some Pokemon help. I mean, he's got some Digi Pokemon helping him out. He's got Decidueyemon called Bowtie, a Gyaradosmon called Moustache, a Honchkrowmon called Fedora, a Kamoamon called King Thrush, Galvantulamon called Fleek, a Spiritomon called Swirly, and a Salanditmon Hoops. Tom, do you know anything about what we're talking about?
Not in any way. So I thought what I'd do is, inspired by you, Ellie, but rather than Google the creepy Digimon, I googled sexiest Digimon, and I can't share my findings, unfortunately. So instead I stuck the safe search on and I tried again. So let me introduce you to, let's say, the Lady Devimon of this podcast, which is Brandy Flash. I'm surprised Lady Devimon got through the safe search. There's some chains. That's the sort of Brandy's look. And on Brandy's team, she has a Lopunny called Wimpymon, a Drapion named Garrymon, a Munchlax called Snorleonymon. Oh, Stu's run away. He's had enough of the concept that he himself
created.
I've got a Bunnelby called Dr. Bunnelby PhDmon, Melmetal called Flowermon, and I've got a Carcol called Lightning McQueen Mon, which is my favourite. But as Stu has seemed to be, has vanished, has, I imagine, digivolved or mega digivolved, and there's crying.
I guess he's found a digi egg, but maybe we should figure out what happened last week.
David, you've never done this segue before. I'm so proud of you.
We found a Digimon egg, but let's find out what happened last time. That has to stay. That has to stay as the segue.
Is this my com? Hi, I'm back again. Previously on Critical Ditto. Yes, the Irish carry is back. Yes!
Togekiss is readying some attacks.
Theo, I think we should muck Togekiss up big time.
Togekiss is given the opportunity to enter your mind.
Don't go for Theo. You go for Adrifamont.
So there's a Morpeko providing power to the gears. This is Cressalia. Well, this is Darken. I haven't been totally honest with you, Kenny. There's an ability that I have when you are unconscious, Kenny. I can envelop.
Medicham leaps high into the air and the leg connects like hitting a football right into the ground, just shatters this orb in Brandy's hand, but has missed the attack and so takes the damage from a miss and faints.
So Togekiss is down. This is not the end. Togekiss is sucked in and it starts to become a mirror image of itself. There is nothing there except you, Cressalia, Pete and Tuki. You're no different than she is, are you?
I live in the grey, baby. Laters.
That is where we left off last time. So where do we begin this time, Dittonians? I shall tell you, in the same space, this sanctum, this dark...
God, you're so smart, Stu.
Where do we live? Where do we pick it up? Exactly where we left it, just there.
Yes, we're going to pick it up exactly there, with the dust falling, detritus and debris still slowly piddling down onto the black marble floor of this inner sanctum, this weird slowpoke room, this room created by Norman at the base of the conclave to reflect their past debacles, just in the moment post-battle. That moment where your muscles find themselves beginning to relax, but also feeling that fatigue, the adrenaline draining from you, the fire of battle draining itself from your face. All of you look around.
I roll over to Kenny and Theo and I say, was that as good for you guys as it was for me?
No, it was awful. I hated it. I felt so angry
terrible,
all the time.
Terrible experience.
Good. I'm glad it was the same for all around then.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The room is quiet, except for that still flowing water. Only now there are some rocks and rubble that divert the streams, causing a little bit of flooding on some of the diocesan platforms. This is a room no longer black and perfect, but marked and scarred, as it has been, by the battle. My question to you guys is, what do you do immediately?
Kind of don't really know. Kenny, I think, is quite tentative. I think he's a bit embarrassed.
Having just seen what Kenny did to Togekiss, Brandy's a little bit.
Okay, so Kenny, you can feel Brandy's eyes upon you. Theo, are you in a similar sort of like focused on Kenny? I mean, obviously for you, what you've just seen is you were holding this, I think you're still holding this golden unknown, right? Mm. And that you ripped from the body of Togekiss, and then suddenly this Togekiss was ripped from under you and you followed it, being sucked soul-like into Kenny's body. It must have been a lasting image for you, especially having experienced so recently that memory you had of Metatite being ripped from you in a similar sort of fashion. I think the imagery of that was probably very similar.
I think Theo is probably just like in the silence of it all, is just like, Kenny, are you okay?
I don't know, Theo. I found out how I can do multiple different poker powers. I guess sort of a defense mechanism from Cressalia. I can sort of, as you just witnessed, suck them up, take what I need to from them, and in my rage and instinct, I did that with Togekiss. I guess I owe you a Pokemon, Theo.
Kenny, is it all right? Where did Togekiss go?
Well, you know Pete and Tuki, you've met them, right?
Oh yeah, how could I forget?
Togekiss lives like them now. In my mind.
Is it all right? Have you got any, like, frontal lobe pressure in your brain?
Kenny, could you swirl a flat 2d6 for me?
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't like that.
That's right. Prompted a roll somehow. Dear. I didn't mean to do that, Kenny. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to prompt you to have a horrible crisis.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's a 1 and a 1.
Oh, my God. It's the worst roll in the game again.
Well, thank God the psychic terrain is gone.
Bear in mind, Stu, just before you say what's going to happen, this is meant to be the casual debrief episode, and now I feel like that's not going to be the case.
Ali, would you indulge me?
Always.
Would you mind taking out your headphones for just a couple of minutes?
Oh. What? We've never done this?
Oh, my goodness.
Gag.
I'm so sorry that your double one has meant you've had to leave the podcast. I've never seen that as a fail before.
I mean, okay.
I appreciate it, Ellie. Thank you. Thank you.
So how are we killing him?
Gents, this is, I'm gonna be real with you guys. I was fully willing to just like give him a bad headache, but this double one has thrown me a freaking loop. I want to f*** Ali now. And I'm wondering how we can do that with basically what we're trying to do here is establish that by taking Togekiss into the Mind Palace now, Kenny has made things really unstable.
Is Kenny mishearing us? Having a weird vision of us.
That's what I'm maybe thinking. It's almost like it is Brandy and Theo.
Are we trying to like convince Kenny to get back in the machine?
Maybe that Kenny's seeing you guys almost betraying him, but actually you're not in reality.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, Kenny, let's see where this goes.
Ali, please return.
I am back on the
He's
clean feed.
He's back on the clean feed.
Okay, Kenny, from your perspective, Brandy has just said something to you, and there is a small high-pitched ringing in your ear, a slight discomfort in your head, but otherwise nothing really has happened.
I said, is there any frontal lobe pressure?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about.
I don't know, Kenny, that doesn't sound good. Your head's not, you've not got a very big head. You've got quite a small head. I would say you've got big hair.
Yeah.
This is not the time to head shame.
Nothing to worry about. You've got an evil overlord of the church stuck in your head alongside an evil other god. Like, what sort of weird, twisted brain is going on there?
Well, what do you want me to do about it, Theo?
Well, get him out. Get him out of your head.
And then we start the battle back over again.
I just think it's too dangerous for you to have him in your head.
Okay. There's a bit of friction going on here. I
agree. This is Adrian Fomansk. I agree with the other two. I think that was a stupid move. That was foolhardy and ridiculous, to be honest. You call yourself a leader? You call yourself a leader and then you make decisions.
I have never, ever called myself a leader. Other people have put me in positions of leadership.
Well, that's precisely why I suppose you haven't risen to the challenge.
Okay, Adri, all right, are we going to get into this? Are we going to talk about the fact that you betrayed us? Are we going to talk about that now? The fact that you probably brought Frey here? Frey's probably waiting for us upstairs right now, Adri. Are we going to do this?
Well, that's more the point, Kenny. Frey could be waiting for us outside, and you've got a crazy demon god Pokemon in your head. Look, I think we can get rid of it. I've got a plan. The schism machine might still work. Kenny, why don't you get in the machine, and then we'll just get the Pokemon out of your head.
And do what when it's back out?
Well, I mean, it's not really a suggestion, is it, actually?
No.
If you refuse to be leader, then perhaps we should all take liberty here. What are you doing? You're refusing?
I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm being attacked, and I just finished a battle. I thought I would be able to control it within my mind. Like I was able to control Pete and Tukey.
We can't take that risk. You're going to get in the machine.
Kenny starts to cry.
Get in the machine, Kenny.
Theo, you're strong. Help me. Help me move Kenny into the machine.
I'm sorry, but I can't trust Togekiss being around anymore. We need to get Togekiss out.
All right, Kenny, they start moving you physically towards the machine. What do you do?
He goes limp. He's lost his fight. Do what you want. I'm past caring now.
We'll snap out there. Kenny, you are being held by... Who is holding Kenny?
Brandy.
Brandy, you are being held by Brandy, but it's not a forceful hug.
It's a hug that's like round Kenny. Kenny, wake up! Kenny!
Oh, thank God Kenny. For that. I hated everything about that.
No one's going to make you go in the machine, Kenny. We're not going to make you go in the machine. Stop saying that.
Kenny, it's so clear that you have been completely out of your mind. There's been some kind of horribly unstable experience that you've just had there, that your mind has completely lied to you.
Kenny!
What happened?
You're back. Is he back? Theo, is he back?
I don't know.
Adri, calm down. Adri, calm down. He's not going to do anything. Kenny, are you okay?
What did I just do? What... You three were just really quite horrible.
Kenny, you just started pushing Adri and you started telling us that we were going to put you in the machine. We were telling you to go in the machine, but we weren't. You pushed Adri. Adri hurt their hand.
Owie.
Adri really has got a painful hand now.
Owie, I can't do helping hand if I have a hurt hand.
That's their only move.
That's probably not very good then, is it? Oh, shinks.
Kenny, has this ever happened to you before? Have you ever spliced? What does this mean?
Your guess is as good as mine, Theo. I don't think so. But then I wouldn't know, would I? If I can't trust my own brain, it's not a very good thing.
Kenny, I don't want to sound like whatever I was saying in your brain, but I have a question. Do you think you could kill Togekiss in your brain?
Is that even an option?
Kenny thinks about that for a second, You know, in the weird vision that I just had, I gave up fighting because I thought I'd just finished my battle. Something tells me I haven't finished yet.
Kenny, don't do it if you're not ready, if you're not feeling like you're at your strongest. You don't want to get trapped. You don't want Togekiss to overtake you in there. I don't think this is a good time to do it now.
I don't, but Brandy, what choice do I have? If I can't trust what I see, my instincts, if I can trust the world around me, I'm a danger. I nearly attacked you, Adri. I'm so sorry.
Listen, Kenny, it's no less than I've deserved, let's be honest. I just want to remind you again, please be careful when it comes to taking lives.
Yeah.
We've been in there before, Kenny. Is that something that the two of us can help you with? You shouldn't have to shoulder this burden alone.
Would you want to come with me? Kenny has to go in.
Kenny's going in. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Then I think Theo and Brandy will go in as well.
All three go in. Okay. Yeah. Great. Right.
Another Mind Palace trip.
Yeah. Here we go. Mind Palace trip number whatever it is.
Oh, God. Don't count that.
It's number two for Brandy in this arc. Two Mind Palace trips in the same arc.
Now, the three of you that are going to enter this Mind Palace right now, I think I'd love you to help build this space that we're going to inhabit for this scene. But I think the word that I want you all to remember is instability. Where before, the Mind Palace that Kenny took you in was one that he had under some variant of control, this is one that is shaken by its foundations and looks liable at any moment to collapse in on itself.
I'm gonna throw out there that it's sort of like when we go in, it's like we are going into a version of the sort of temple room we were already in, but plants have just overtaken it. Nature is overtaking.
Okay, great. So there's a botanical nightmare, Kenny. You can name all the plants.
It's gonna actually very appropriate, David. That is wonderful.
Listen, Ali, I remember things about this podcast sometimes.
You remember more about my own character than I do.
You can identify them, but those creeping vines are malevolent.
I think the water, it's not water. It is a black and purpley ooze that sometimes sort of randomly spurts and like sort of jets off like little geysers sort of
goozers.
Randomly sort of appear. Some goozers.
Guzamon.
some Guzamon's geese on Lady Devon.
The geese on the geezers. Cool. Okay, that's a pretty cool place. So it's a version of the space we're in. It's just overgrown and has these running black ooze fields just dripping their way through the vines and ferns that seem to amass from all the marble. I'm guessing Togekiss is there. Maybe Togekiss is strapped into the machine in this version. Like whatever ooze-like version of the machine you've manifested in this Mind Palace.
That's a good idea.
Kenny, maybe Togekiss is strapped in that, like, angel-like wings pulling at their pectorals. At this moment, I don't think Cresselia, Pete and Tuki can be seen.
Do we look upwards? And upwards, it's just a completely black night sky and just a very bright crescent moon.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And every now and again, I think you feel like earthquake-like rumble.
And then Pete goes, wasn't me.
Actually, it was me. Enjoy.
That was me.
Togekiss eyes the three of you. Back so soon. Come to gloat, come to look upon your prize.
Wasn't expecting this. In here?
The fruits of your own actions. Your own selfish actions.
Oh yeah, I've been so selfish, haven't I? By taking everyone's liberty away. That is so selfish of me. You know, just once, I would love it if a villain we defeated would be like, hands up, I was in the wrong. You were right, but instead, no, we're left with the likes of you, who are so convinced that we're in the wrong. Even though you've journeyed with us, you've helped us overcome some of these villains. And all three of us are saying that you're in the wrong for taking away people's choice. And yet you're still here, steadfast.
Oh yes, taking away choice, gosh, yes. Real crime. We're trying to set free creatures who are locked as I am right now. And before me stands those who have removed life.
What life?
Theo, I'm not sure whether you know what Brandy and Kenny did with Andros's Golduck, but I do. I know. That Golduck is gone. That Golduck is dead. That part of Andros is dead and will never come back. And that was a choice that they made.
And do you want to know why? Because of your actions have born someone out. No, you may laugh, but your actions bore out there someone.
You tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself.
Okay, okay.
I predict that you're here to kill me as well. I predict you're here to kill me as well because you found that your mind palace can't handle me. And you've come in here because you feel threatened. So you're here to kill me now as well. My goodness me. You see yourself as heroes.
Do you see yourself as a hero?
I have followed you all for months. And all of you have said, we need to get the kings wrong. We need to stop Frey. Not once have I heard any of you say what you're going to do with the King's Rock. You are just Frey. You're just, that's two Freys going for the King's Rock, both believing they're right.
Togekiss, you were going to murder all of us in cold blood just moments ago, and now you're here playing the victim. I'm going to tell you a little thing about emotional consistency, Togekiss. You want to expect logic that flows from A to B to C to D. Maybe you don't reveal a deep trauma to somebody and a series of dark memories and a weird, twisted dream sequence and then give me no opportunity to process it afterwards. What do you think I've been going through for the last six hours? I have no concept of time anymore. You have ruined my life today. You have revealed that you ruined my life, that you ruined hundreds, if not thousands, of people's lives.
Yes, no, I'm sorry. Your life would be so much improved if Metatite was within your mind as opposed to outside. Yeah, no, your life would be... Oh, gosh, the life that you have led.
Well, it might have been. It might have been if humanity had been able to evolve with ways to control that and learn about it. But no, you made that decision for thousands of people. In a way, you're not wrong. It's not a bad thing to be able to offer people the schism if they really want it. But the choice is what's important. Not whether it should or shouldn't be done. It is a person's liberty. It is a life's liberty. It is not forcing your own opinions on other people. That just inflicts terror. Whether you like it or not, that is what you've done.
Well, I know humans. I've lived a lot longer than all of you. And I know that humans don't give up power when they're given the choice. I appreciate that you think you're doing what you think is right, and there's no way I'm going to convince you otherwise. Just do it. Do it. Do what you've come in here to do.
Kenny, will you give me the honors?
Wow. Okay.
Kenny, okay. Theo.
No, this is good. This is good.
Hold on
the heroes,
a second.
The heroes wield the blade over the subjugated Pokemon.
Togekiss, you're really not helping. Theo, Kenny, I'm going to say this. It's really strange for me to feel like the sort of calm, level-headed feeling at this point. Like, this is a weird place for me to be in personally. But this feels weird, okay? I'm just gonna lay my cards on the table here. This feels like a weird thing that we're doing. We stood round a Pokemon and we're just gonna remove it from existence.
Didn't feel weird with Andross, did it, Brandy?
It felt weird with Andross. Thanks, Togekiss. You weren't there. It didn't feel good. It felt necessary. And to be honest, Togekiss, I think we are going to end up removing you because at the moment, it feels like the necessary thing to do because you feel dangerous to everyone in Formia. But this, I don't know. I just want to put the question out there.
Oh, God, this is so messed up. We came here hoping maybe you'd be able to help us. Not you necessarily, but the O, who I guess is you somehow. And instead, this has happened.
Maybe you should roll.
Okay. Kenny, you feel two wings on your shoulders as Tuki starts trying to give you a little shoulder massage. Okay, buddy. I miss the bar area we had here and how chill it's been recently. And I just want to say, Kenny, it feels like you're tense.
No, it feels like he's raging. That's what it feels like,
yes,
Tooks.
Thank you.
Feels like that bubbling rage that's been there all along is starting to finally erupt, and it's magnificent.
I don't think it's magnificent. I think this is bad. Have you seen Pete, Kenny? He's about five times the size as he was.
Finally, Kenny. Finally.
He's looking pretty good, not gonna lie.
Well, I don't know. That's prison hench, yes. He's like, you know... He's been doing... When a millipede does push-ups, it's unbelievable. There are, like, so
the
many tiny...
time under tension, Kenny. Unbelievable.
Stu? What am I adding anything to this?
I think it's behind the substitute.
Is it behind substitute?
Yeah, I think it's behind the substitute. So it's plus charm, I guess.
Charm. And Kenny is, I think, a plus two? Yes, plus two in charm. And I rolled a six. and then a 4.
Ooh.
Okay, so you get two questions.
12.
Basically, Togekiss would quite like to not exist. Togekiss does not want to be in your head.
Ooh, like, oh, yeah, dark. Man. It's so obvious that that's they're dark. Like, I'm done. I'm just going to rile them up until
I go. I'm done. So is your character telling the truth? What's your character really feeling? What's your character intend to do? What does your character wish I'd do? How could I get your character to blank?
I am looking for answers. So I guess how could I get your character to give us the answers?
Yep, sure. So you want to know something about the King's Rock, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah. And how could I get your character to do that? You could get rid of Togekiss.
And Stu, please don't give us this like, okay, here's what you found out about the King's Rock. It's green.
It's size 10.
It's size 10. It's EU size 10. 44.
It's for an abnormally large head.
Oh, but Kenny has a really small head. We've established that in this episode.
It's going to slip right off.
Well, actually, Stu, you, in a way, you've actually answered two questions there, because what does your character wish I, Kenny, would do is give them their freedom.
Sweet, sweet relief.
And it's also the way that they would show us the most that they know about where the King's Rock, yeah, or how we summon the King's Rock, or how it comes to exist. I think Kenny says, Togekiss, you're forgetting you're in my head. So whilst you are antagonizing us very, very successfully, I also know that you're doing this as one last hurrah. And you want to leave and not exist. And I will give you that if you tell us what you know about how to find the King's Rock. Because you don't exist anymore. So what have you got to lose?
Fine. If it means putting an end to this. And Tokius references the room and the shackles and everything. The King's Rock is an item of incredible power. An item that Slowking himself could not handle. An item that grants the user continually untold knowledge again and again, ever expanding, ever growing, until the mind can no longer handle what's inside. It is dangerous. It's an item that I don't think any of you could handle.
I mean, we have handled Gumi juice before.
And how do you get it?
I may not have been the one to hide it, but I know who did, Norman. And that golden unknown that Theo currently has in their possession houses a couple of crucial memories. Check them and you may know more.
Togekiss, we don't like this. And I just wanted to ask you one question. Was there any part of travelling with us that you enjoyed?
I loved every second. Now do what you have to do.
Kenny releases the shackles on Togekiss and gestures to Theo. You're a Pokemon. You're a Carl.
Theo takes a second and can't help but feel like this is like a really interesting Rubicon between, if we think back to when Brandy and Theo were so anti-Aliza and mercy being shown to her, and also then Theo being told to show mercy to Mrs. W when Theo had the opportunity for revenge at that moment. And so much of the last, God knows how long, for Theo has been a journey about learning that mercy is supposed to be the answer. It's really breaking Theo's heart that Theo doesn't feel like Theo has a choice here in this situation once again. Like, it's just so trapped down once again. But Theo has a Chekhov's gun that kind of has to be used in this situation. And Theo raises Mrs. W's flaming gauntlet, which has traveled with Theo into the Mind Palace, and looks at Togekiss and can't stop tears as Theo says, for what it's worth, I loved every second with you too. And if you had given me a choice, but once again, we are the only people offering anyone a choice. Thank you. And Theo fires off the fire gun.
And just as Golduck was when Hoops fired the flame, within Andross's Mind Palace, Togekiss is consumed by the flames, and there is nothing remaining when the flames die down, as you all slowly disappear from Kenny's Mind Palace.
feels like you're tense.
I mean, don't literally shake me. What? Don't shake me.
I thought you said to shake you.
Why are you doing this to me?
I'm trying to get the last penny out. Where is it? Come on.
Come on, pig.
Tom, that is...
Oh, sorry. It's a piggy bank. It's a... David.
I don't know what you expected Hold to on. Do with that.
What came out of my slot? Come on, what came out of my slot?
A midsection. Oh, that's weird.
Good, good.
Here we go. This midsection is sent to us from a Pokemon champion, Purple Turkey. Purple Turkey writes, "Hey there, Dittos. Love the podcast. I've been having a ton of fun binging it at work. I recently became a champion to hop into the Discord, and so far the community you've made has been so incredibly welcoming. Can't wait to see what you have planned for the future. On to my pitch for the midsection. I have, surprise, surprise, a trainer for you. She's an NPC character I have for my own upcoming Pocket Monster of the Week campaign I'll be DMing. Her name is Lana. She's on a quest around Formia to collect all 8 gym badges." Wow, what a quest, I would say. Considering that's no one's goal in Formia, it seems. No one does that anymore. But that goal is secondary, of course, as she has the primary goal of discovering the secrets of one of the 3 teams, disbanded or otherwise. Which of the teams is up to you. And retrieving something or someone taken from her. The details are for you to decide. She's very similar to Hugh from Black and White 2. Her battling style revolves around Pokemon that are able to change their types in order to confuse their opponents. Her signature partner is a special Mimikyu with a modified version of the Imposter ability. Its primary type changing based on crafted costumes it wears. For example, if it wears the disguise of a Bulbasaur, it would become a grass ghost type. Other potential Pokemon Lana could have include Ditto, Castle, Kecleon, Rotom, the Froakie line with the protein ability, type null, Silvally. Oh, wow. Purple Turkey, you've really gone into the depths of the team and the strategies that Lana has got. So how does Lana fit into this world?
I think Lana's annoyed. I think Lana was looking for like a really...
she's turned up so late to the Formia.
Prototypical video game Pokemon yeah. storyline in Formia, and it just doesn't exist. She keeps turning up to fake gyms and being like...
Another one. It's
what
another
is going
fake
on?
Gym.
No other region has this. Trying to collect these badges. She finds there's a gym leader who's on a train. She just misses the train. How do you fight Kite if you miss the train? You don't. That's bad game design, isn't
well,
it? I think she's looking at Formia as if it's a video game and it's just terribly mapped out, terribly designed.
Yeah, no, she was told to catch the train and she was like, okay, great, I'll catch the train. Unfortunately, the train blew up 3 days ago after one gym battle.
Formia's the kind of place where you would leave your starting town and there would be a strength rock blocking Route 1 and you'd be softlocked for the entire game because that's how Formia works, and you'd have to find a way to break the game to cut down the trees to get to Route 36 through the north entrance.
So basically we're a randomizer.
Yes.
We're a terribly designed randomizer.
She's got a fish in the randomizer to hope she doesn't get a Magikarp, and she pulls a tentacle
the
with
Surf.
The
scripted event, Tom, in Town 3, she can't even complete anymore because Team Nautilus don't exist. Like, there's just a gap where you're trying to trigger an event that doesn't exist because... because Aliza is gone. She's normally there, stood
possible.
There. She's locked in an invisible house.
That's a fun concept of just like trying to complete a Pokemon video game after the main character has completed the video game. Like after the main character has become champion, like what's like how much is still playable? How much is still possible to do? So yeah, Lana's annoyed. How is Lana solving her problem then? Because it feels like Lana wants to still continue on because her primary goal is discovering the secrets of one of the 3 evil teams, or to get something or someone taken from her. Is the something taken from her the opportunity to get all 8 gym badges, and she is trying to recreate the traditional path?
Yeah, I think in current Formia she is leading a resistance movement to reopen the gyms and say that actually in the time of crisis we need organized sports. And everyone else is like, that's mad. We are at war.
Please hide. Get in the bunker.
People are in bunkers. And she's like, no, I want to challenge the Starmie. I want to jump through.
Yeah, where is the level 12 Geodude?
Beat the gym challenge.
Where is the Onyx with Bind?
Skip the camper who has a Goldeen and get to the final gym leader. There's a ragtag group of wannabe elite trainers who are trying to rip. The question is, what's their demonstration? What is their rebellion tactic? What if Lana was behind some of the fake gyms?
Oh.
Okay.
And actually they were rebellion gyms, because she was saying the gyms of Formia are too arcane. They're on train carriages. They're at the bottom of theatres that don't open until 6 p.m. in the evening.
I've got work until 6. It's impossible for you to get there.
I can't be there. I cannot get there.
Be there.
So Lana was trying to open more traditional gyms, like Kanto style, single building, one room, guy at the front who says, go get him, champ. Tells you what the weaknesses
are. Gives
you
fresh water.
Gives you a fresh water. That's what she wanted. So she's been trying to open this. And by establishing those gyms, convince the league that this is the way to go. They've obviously been like, no, absolutely not. Trying to shut them down. So maybe that's some of the fake gyms. And then that got infiltrated by the Oddfather, who then saw a criminal enterprise at
yes,
work
I,
there.
I love the fact that she tried to just create the normal gyms. And they were also turned into an arcane system by an arcane part of Formian
yes,
law.
Of course, of course.
And she was just like, is there a way for anything just to function normally?
Just to work.
Yeah, she like went into like a local shop just to buy a soda pop, and then somehow ended up in a cult and was just like, I just want a simple A to B input to output response.
So the fake gyms have now happened. Lana's really struggling now because her gyms are being thrown into
disrepute. Lana's been forced out of her own gym setup.
What's her next move? What is Lana currently doing? Is she trying to create her own Elite Four, her own victory road?
That's a great shout. I think she is doing it. Oh, maybe is it Honey Holy Peak? Was that what it was called?
Yes, Holy Honey Peak.
Holy
yes.
Honey Peak, that which also featured a cult, I think. So she's probably going to get sucked into another cult, knowing Lana. But I think it was something to do with Diglets and Combies, and they fashioned a giant tower with lots of holes in it. It sounds like a good place to have a victory road. If Formia was a traditional place.
Obviously,
it's not. It's just full of Diglets and Combies. But she's trying to make them seem more intimidating than they are. So she's actually training up the Diglets and Combies within there to be level 57, akin to a traditional victory road.
I think she's trying to recruit Elite Four members, but she's quite misjudging it because she's not from Formia. She doesn't really appreciate that we're in a war.
We also know that the only people with Pokemon are likely to be those with very weak traditionally caught Pokemon.
The only people she can find is that guy at the beginning of every Pokemon game who shows you how to catch a Zigzagoon.
Yeah, so who presumably has 500 Caterpies who he's caught throughout all the demonstrations.
That's what I mean. That's all he's got. He's just got Caterpies and Diglett and Spearows and Zigzagoons, and that's it. So she's trying to create this sort of victory road Elite Four.
I mean, her team sounds great. So when they get to the champion, they are in for a shock at the top of Holy
Honey
Peak.
That's so good that she has such a well thought out, but she only ever comes up against like a Zigzagoon.
It's just an old man who stumbled up to the top of the Holy Honey Peak by accident.
Yeah.
What? I just went out for a meal.
No, Stu, it's better than that because she wants them to be the Elite Four and she's challenging them. So she's been like, ah, you've set lots of traps for me, have you? I finally reached the champion figure. They're like, what?
I want to go home.
And there we go. That's what Solana's going
to
do.
Good luck to her, I say.
Thank you very much, Purple Turkey. And if you have a NPC idea or a location or an item that you would like to send for us to talk about and flesh out in the midsection, please do get in touch at criticalditto@gmail.com. And if you would like to skip the queue, as Purple Turkey has done, please subscribe to our Patreon at the Pokemon Champion tier. Ali, you've joined us. We're shaking the pig over here. Do you want to have a go?
Oh, I brought my own pig to shake.
Oh.
Wink.
Oh, no. End it.
Take back the wink.
Take back the wink.
Open eyes. Open them.
Who's that Pokemon?
It feels like you're tense.
Need I say? Okay, yes, it was Tuki.
We now fade out of Kenny's Mind Palace and back into what we know as the real world. And you find yourselves back in that black marble space, the ruined space scarred by battle. Togekiss, Kenny, that instability for now is gone. You are sort of feeling yourself. The Pokemon that you had out at the time that you'd left in the space are still there, probably anxiously watching over your bodies, keeping guard. Adri is watching the door. What do you do?
Brandy is stifling some tears after that scene, putting on a brave face.
Okay, Wimpy the Lopunny comes up to you. Lope?
That's fine. It's all right.
Puts an ear around you. Lope.
Thanks, Wimpy. Just let's gotta keep going, you know?
Lopunny?
That's what I said.
Thea, Kenny, any immediate actions?
Thea, or you have that unknown, right?
I do, yeah.
Are we prepared to do this, to, I guess, look into whatever the memories of this unknown has right now?
Yeah, what's, Stu, can you describe what the unknown is looking like at the moment? Does it look defeated?
It's just an unknown. It's like the other unknowns that were in the room that Thea found.
I'm assuming it is the O unknown. That would make
Yeah,
I
it's
guess.
Definitely an O. Yeah, yeah, it's like a ring. It's like a golden hoop. Yes, 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 absolutely.
And it turns around and says, I'm actually a zero.
The church have got it wrong the whole time.
Well, last time I accessed the memories of an unknown, I just touched the unknown and it worked. They say, as if they understand anything about this, but that hasn't happened. I've touched the O and nothing's happened. So I wonder if access to the three tomes would maybe unlock whatever's going on here. Adri, if you'd be so kind.
I can use what I've done for the third tome. Perhaps my research will be of use here.
I regret to inform you, Adri, that it might just be.
Okay. Tom, what does Adri do to the Golden Unknown? What has their research told them to do?
Adri's now nervous. Unknown. Adri's pretty nervous now.
Okay, yeah, I'm super nervous. Okay.
They came slowly to, unzips their robes.
Oh, there is a ring! Oh, no!
They came to this basement, basically, to find out how to sort of translate the tomes quickly. So obviously they haven't been able to do that.
No.
But Adri has a penchant for the musical sometimes. So what Adri does is they...
The amount of squinting that has happened.
Wait, what? Have we ever established that in any form?
Yeah.
I can't imagine any of our characters less likely to suddenly bust out into a song.
Adri loves the trombone, or trombone players, which was said
that
at one point.
That is true. That was said.
Well,
yes.
We know they love trombone players, for certain.
So what I think that means is that Adri loves an orchestra. And Adri knows, I'm going to say this, lore dump about Adri, they know every instrument. So Adri looks at the Golden Unknown, and then they look at the tome, which is sort of rectangular shaped.
This is the third tome, okay, yeah.
They find a little debris, a little sort of pole, metal pole debris. They get some sellotape, and they tape the rectangle to the end of the pole. They go up to the Golden Circular Unknown. They whack the unknown like
it's a tonal. There's a tonal unlock.
Like a gun. They hit the eye right in the middle.
The tonal unlock.
They the hit it in the eye.
Ow.
Yeah, exactly. And the Golden Unknown goes, oh, and the reverberation, we hear it, it enters into our ears, and we're all taken in.
Love that this like mystical thing relied on sellotape.
Adri's got sellotape. Adri's got it.
Obviously just has on their person at all times. Always be prepared.
Okay, you're taken inside the Golden Unknown and you... I have a few memories here. These are O memories.
Mem-O-ries.
But when I finish a memory, I will sound the O gong. I will knock the tonal turmoil. And if anyone else has a little Norman memory that they just want to chuck in, I will happily splice that in as well. I have lore and I have some form of answers in mind, but if anyone just wants to flesh out Norman in a way that they see fit, feel free.
Sure.
Here we go. So we are in the room where it happened, this slowpoke room. Norman, it's almost like he's using the unknown as a video camera. And he's filming his his last will and testimony, because that's how the unknowns work.
Sets up the unknown
on a tripod, sticks it up. He's actually found a load of sellotape that he's managed to fashion a tripod out of. It's incredible. Okay, Norman's here. We go, Norman. What did Norman have a voice?
It was just very intense because he was in an intense moment.
All right, I'll just make him slightly nasal
and Swedish.
And Swedish. What? Hang on.
You're gonna roll with it, Stu.
The O report. This is me, Norman, talking. I hope this works. I do hope this works. These are my findings regarding post-schism biology. You see Norman staring at their fingers, withered. My body seems to be decaying at a rapid rate. Hair is falling out. Early arthritis seems to be setting into my joints. Since being separated from Togekiss, my body seems to be incapable of healing itself. Any cut will not close. Any bruise will remain on my skin. Working theory, I am dying. Togekiss, when they were a part of me, perhaps they were keeping me alive, keeping me healthy, keeping me young. If we had not schismed, who knows how long I could have lived. Now Togekiss is gone, and I fear I don't have much time left.
Perhaps Togekiss has an eternity. And that video fades.
I
will now accept comments. There's a moment for the audience to accept comments.
Yeah, we can.
Where are you all three sat? Tell me about your seating arrangement for this little cinema trip.
We're sat like we're going down a slide, but all together.
All four of us are like almost human caterpillaring, just sitting normally.
Exactly.
Wait, there is no slide, but you are sat like a bobsleigh team.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. O report. Number two. I'm numbering these. Togekiss has grown more distant. They've developed their own mechanical servants, dubbed the Primes. Seems Togekiss is already planning for my departure from this world.
Wait, that was number two?
That was number two. That was a quick one.
What was the gong in between the...
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Sorry, so the gong at the end of a memory, is that what you want?
Well, I assume, because then I thought we were going to jump in with our own one.
Okay, so that was number two. Here we go. This is gong.
O report number three. Got to fix that gong. Every time I hit it, it just makes a different sound than the previously established sound. I'm not sure whether it's the tree surroundings. The Sephiroth tree is a strange and magical place, but it's really affecting the gong, and I do only work to a specific tonal. Ooh, that's fun. Okay. Working theory? Get a new gong. End of report.
Gong, 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 along, gong, along, gong, along.
What the was that? Fade.
O report. Four. Communing with Slowking has been unsuccessful. They must be out there somewhere. They have to be. I fear they are the only one who can fix this. I've remained here in the Sephiroth tree as the base of my operation. Acolytes under the guidance of Togekiss have recreated this room, this altar, from my drawings, but how do you draw a room that constantly seems to shift and change? One morning a pillar is in the northeast corner, the next it's on the ceiling, hanging down like a stalagmite.
Tight.
They stink, they cling tight, no, don't they? They cling tight to the ceiling.
Yeah, thank you, yes. Thank you, disembodied boys.
God, Norman has a lot of knowledge but doesn't know anything about geology.
I took off the King's Rock. I used to know these things when I wore it.
Because I thought the joke was that tights come down in a really... I hate saying that, but, I'm sure that's the thing.
Brandy, could you stop with your horrible old wives' tales? We are watching exposition unfold.
I'm just saying it's awkward being the third person in this.
Adri leans over and is like, can I just take some of your juice if you're not going to
finish it? No, switch places with me. You're at the back. I want to be at the back.
Anyone want more memory popcorn?
But if I'm to contact Slowking and find out what I need to do with the King's Rock, here is the place I will do it. Please, Slowking, please send me a sign.
O report number five.
I don't think we should number these. I'm just going to say that. This feels like a mistake.
I feel like we should.
Or at least number them as significant skips down the line. Don't do them all the day after each other.
Yeah, good point.
They must have edited some out.
O report number eight. Guy, I messed up O reports 5, 6, and 7. That was...
You did them.
Hey, you know what? They've gone. They've gone away into the recycling bin.
I cannot wait for the deleted scenes.
It's just him flubbing his lines. O report, slow fling. I mean, delete.
They do the report and then they realise they were using the wrong mic. Oh, I was using the inbuilt mic. Oh, no.
This is all still part of the O report. Ali hasn't gonged.
It is. Yeah, it's true. O report number eight. Gratuitous Candle came around today.
Did he?
Yeah, he was. He's really angry with me. Oh, God. But he's angry in a sad way because it's like he's lost his inner fire. Yeah, we had to like whittle fire out of wood. That's the end of my day.
Whittle fire out of...
He's not clever anymore.
Oh, O report 113.
Whoa!
Slowking has abandoned me. I am lost, a Lapras without surf. I must be rid of this heinous rock. And if I'm right about whatever Togekiss is plotting, I don't have much time left. I shall conceal the King's Rock here, within the Sephiroth tree. This thing can never be used again, not by Togekiss, not by me, not anyone. You hear me, Slowking? Never again.
O report 157. Had a weird thought this morning. I've always felt like I was the one who, when I was going to get a Pokemon, I wanted to give them a nickname, but I wanted to give them the nickname, which I never actually said out loud. But then Groundman, I heard on the grapevine, did it already, and I can't really now do it because everyone will think I'm copying him. Just one of those down days, I guess, where I just think maybe I should talk to people more rather than just the unknown. Working theory, get out more, but I can't.
Oh, report 2403.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. His working theory that he was dying soon.
This man was about to die.
That was a bad theory. He had 2,000 days left.
He's done nothing but make
these
reports.
How many years
reports.
Is that? That's like 8 years.
Oh, it's a lot of years. It's a lot of years.
Looks like I'm living a bit of a cursed extended life here, which is a fun little treat. But I have come up with a song. I'm thinking Persian to Persian, bum to bum. It needs a bit of work, but I think it's got legs.
There's something there.
On the subject of legs, mine aren't really doing much anymore, so brilliant.
Got one more report. Does anyone else want one?
Are you saying this is our last chance to do an O report?
This is your last chance to do an O report.
O report 2776. Feel like I'm coming towards the end of the O-reports. Feel like I've only got one more left in me after this one. This one doesn't count. I just wanted to do one more, you know, before I do the final O-report. Go me.
O-report 16.
Ooh.
I can't count.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the C-report. I've mixed it up for the patrons, listeners who get the extra report that I do, not just the standard stuff on the O-report channel. But yeah, today I see a carbink next to me. I don't.
Carbink,
I'm alone.
Carbink. Oh.
Thanks, imaginary carbink.
Thanks for erasing me out of existence there.
I didn't know you were real.
Oh God.
All right. Bye. And then a xylophone plays him out on this one, as it's the C report.
Okay. O report number... Yeah, numbers don't matter anymore. The final O report.
This is the final one, last one. Tonight is the night. Tonight I leave the Sephiroth tree and I head to the replica room beneath the conclave where Togekiss and their primes inevitably wait for me. I have the capture box. Perhaps one final sting in the tail for me yet, eh, Togekiss? But the walls and the barriers here are complete. Suffering, sacrifice, solitude. It's strange being alone in this place. Surrounded by statues of Sloking. A being of almighty power and knowledge. And I sit here in his shadow playing at research. Oh, even now there is a temptation to use it. Perhaps it could speed up the process, help me ensure its ultimate concealment. But I know that even the simplest of intentions can cause the most complex of ripples. I can't do it again. No one will do it again. It's a shame, really. There's no one around me to appreciate the work I've done. The tomes that I've created will give people clues and instructions, but it won't help them. This memory of mine, this insight into my workings, this codex, that won't even help, really, because the riddle is unsolvable. Suffer through hardships. Create unbreakable bonds. Sacrifice those bonds and experience solitude, and the barriers will fall. But how can you sever an unbreakable bond? A puzzle beyond even you, Sloking. No more delays. I am ready, Togekiss. I'm sorry I was never able to reach you when you were within me. I am sorry about so many things. And with that, the Golden Unknown runs out of reel.
Does anyone else think he sounded healthier in the last one than he did in the first one?
I mean...
Oh, no, I take that back.
Gong.
And yeah, it runs out of it. It catches fire. The projector catches fire.
I like old film.
I guess there's no, post-credits scene. We should probably get out of here.
Wait. The dead O's body rises. Nick Fury says, "We've been waiting for this moment."
They're outside a kebab shop.
And with that,
we slide away.
You slide away, and the unknown loses its golden luster as it has delivered its final message to you all.
Brandy says, "So I totally understood all of that and picked up everything that was important. I was not totally sidetracked by thinking up my own O reports and was totally listening to all of the actual O reports that had sort of significance in. But can we just recap a little bit?"
Well, Adri, you were paying the most attention, obviously.
Yes,
so why don't
yes,
you tell
I
us?
Was. I didn't do any O reports. So yes, I will tell you the bullet points. For everyone who was perhaps a little confused, seemed like...
Adri takes out a sketch of all of the gongs and the different noises.
So gong one had a slightly higher pitch. I noticed that because I'm very good at music. Gong two, I actually don't think gong two happened. I think that was a break in the formula. Is this what you were looking for, Brandy? Or was this...
No, I was actually thinking that more you were listening to the content of it. Like,
oh, the content,
the stuff
yes.
relating to the yes. tomes, the King's yes. Rock, that kind of jazz.
Yes, I guess I found my codex. Norman was schismed, and it seemed like it affected them badly, health-wise. Seems like, yes, Pokemon and person are two halves of one whole. I guess Togekiss got the better end of that deal. Norman seemed to be wanting to commune with Slowking, didn't seem to get any response. And then they decided to, with no guidance from their supposed leader, Savior, they decided to hide the King's Rock behind an unbreakable, unsolvable riddle. Suffering, sacrifice, solitude. And I checked the notes. Yes, it did say... Suffer through hardships, create unbreakable bonds, sacrifice those bonds, and experience solitude. But how can one sever an unbreakable bond?
Am I missing the kind of important point of this, but was I right in hearing that the King's Rock is in the Sephiroth tree?
It did sound like it was there.
Yeah.
That's huge, right?
It was there when they used the schism, when they created the schism.
If we know where the King's Rock is...
But Brandy, we can't get to it without... severing the bonds that bind us, or...
Oh, riddle, schmiddle. Do you know what I think the best thing to do about with a riddle is you punch the person who told you the riddle until they give you the answer.
Well, Brandy, they died 500 years ago, so feel free to take a crack at that.
Exactly. But look, here's the thing. If we can't solve the riddle, maybe Frey can't solve the riddle. You know? How good is Frey at riddles?
Yeah, but Brandy... Last time we thought that Frey didn't have any of the information, she managed to steal all three of the tomes. If all it needs is the three tomes and then to answer that question, then she can figure it out.
No, you're right. It's too risky.
But what we need to do then is figure out how to break the unbreakable bond and do it first.
It sounds as though the bonds are formed through suffering, which you could argue that the three of us have done. For Adri, of course, you know, we have suffered immensely together.
1000% Adri. I mean, yeah. Sorry, from the staircase conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. I appreciate you involving me in the conversation, but...
She's not.
No, listen, it's different with you three. I mean, you saw what happened when Kenny was threatened and I was threatened in the Togekiss fight. And I don't blame you, Theo, I don't blame you. Especially after everything I've done.
Adri, I respect the remark, but there's a difference between a mission and how we feel about each other. Kenny was chosen by Slowking. I had to make the choice that I did, and I still protected you because I care about you.
I know. Thank you. Honestly, Theo, Brandy, it's okay. It's okay.
Brandy, I think something's going on between them.
They hate each other.
Been picking up the subtle hints.
Yeah,
and that's
really
my cue to want to leave this room.
Yeah, I think, you know what? We're not going to solve a 500-year-old riddle when we're cold, sat in a basement. So
our challenge accepted. give me 5 minutes. No, you're right. You are right. We should probably go
upstairs. I'm kind of hungry, and there was a lot of curry upstairs that I just had to sort of run past.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Really,
yes.
Yeah, I'd really like to.
I cannot wait for a plain naan.
With butter on it, obviously, I imagine.
Well, it is a Sunday.
Oh, I've got Christmas on a Sunday this year. Good to know. Good to know. Right. So, okay. I think we've basically done everything you'd want to do in this room, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still want to roll to look around, make sure I get all the treasures, make sure I've got all the...
I want to catch a Pokemon that was hiding the amongst the rubble somewhere.
You want to catch a Pokemon?
Oh, that Carbink.
Yeah, we know there's a 500-year-old Carbink.
Yeah, sure. Roll 2d6.
What, everyone?
Yep.
Can't wait for a huge fail.
Oh, for muck's sake. 2 and a 4, it's a 6.
Oof.
Yeah, but I rolled a 6 and a 4, so does my full success counter Brandy's absolute failure?
What did you get, David?
I got a 3 and a 6, so a mixed success.
Oh, we got all three.
You know what? Adri's right. We do make a good team.
Oh, gosh. So what were you looking for? Anything in particular?
Just any kind of secrets.
Oh, this is fun. This is like we're in Rare Brandy's in the sort of in-between stuff, and it's finding an item.
Yeah, okay. You can have an item for sure.
I'll put it next to my bike voucher.
I was going
to
say, don't give me a second bike voucher. Kenny finds a penny farthing voucher that Norman never cashed.
So, Brandy, you get nothing.
Can I roll for what I find, but then I immediately lose it by dropping it in the water?
Oh, great. Oh, good. Good. This is fun. Let's make them all held items.
David gets a king's rock.
Ali, seeing as you rolled a 10, you get to roll twice.
I think you should tell him what both are and you get to pick which one you get.
Yes, fair enough.
Yeah. So what am I rolling?
So for the first one, you're rolling a D200.
102.
Okay. Your first item is pincerite. You just find some pincerite.
Ah, thank God I have a pincer.
Is an incentive. Go back to Route 2 No Forest. Please maybe do some searching for the 5% encounter. Okay, and your second, go for it, Ali. Please roll a D70 for this one.
51.
It's a razor fang.
So basically, Kenny picks up a weird rock and a cool fang.
Yep.
Definitely keeps the razor fang.
Cool. Good. Good, good, good. Razor fang is what you get. David, you just get to roll a D8.
I got a 5.
You get pure incense.
Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, what do I roll, Stu?
This is pointless, isn't it? You get Normalium Z.
That's so useful for me. That's literally the most useful item I could have.
Tell me about Brandy finding Normalium Z and losing Normalium Z.
Brandy picks up Normalium Z. It's actually in like a very ornate box that she's just seen sort of tucked under. She takes a step back, hits a secret button obviously on the floor, okay, and a little thing opens up behind
turns
the altar.
Turns
a slowpoke tail. The Morpeko suddenly goes back into happy mode and carries to her this box with this thing in it. She opens up. What does Normalium Z look like?
It's just like a little diamond crystal, colourless.
Brandy is like, wow, and is just about to ask Theo what it is when Gary the Drapier pops out of his Pokeball and eats it. No! No! And I like that Theo turns around and is like, everything all right? And Brandy's like, yeah, absolutely fine. Nothing.
Drapier.
Nothing happened at all, Theo. Don't look over here. Let's go upstairs.
With a fang acquired and an incense acquired, head back up to the banquet hall.
Pincerite. What the hell was I ever going to do with that?
You are going to be gutted when that's the answer to the riddle. It's a pincer who's the one giving us the clues. And it's like, if you can give me a gift that I would like.
Breaking the bond.
With my vice grip.
With a vice grip.
I don't really know what I'm going to do with it with a razor fang.
I'm going to be honest, Ali. Razor fang is similarly useless because it's just used to evolve Gligar into Gliscor.
Yeah, Kenny fashions a cool sort of fang necklace around his neck.
Okay, nice. Yeah. You've got a cool, edgy necklace.
And he
necklace.
Gives it to one of his Pokemon. Why not?
Who gets it?
Did Theo think the fang necklace was going to be given to them? Theo, sorry, David, I thought you'd turn around and be like, oh, Kenny.
Oh, thanks, Kenny. Oh. After all I did, that's so cold. No, yeah, you give that to...
You give it to the Spiritomb. You give it to the ghost as it slips through its ghostly neck.
No, Kenny is going to give it to the to Salandit because Hoops has never evolved and he feels
Hoops
bad.
Hoops needs something to enjoy.
Hoops needs something.
I've heard that items evolve Pokemon and maybe this will do it.
Oh God, Salandit's going to end up holding so many items. It's wearing a metal coat. It's just got a magnet glued to its tail.
Okay, we get back up to the banquet hall and the scene is not too dissimilar to what we left it at. The acolytes of the church and the refugees have all joined together for a large Christmas meal. What's the vibe? What's the vibe like? What is Bash done to manage the situation up here effectively?
Bash is just so in her element now. And as a leader, she is got together a mass game of Christmas Blitzel Ball. She's like teaching people how to play it. It's like she's got improvised.
They've moved the tables.
They've moved tables around.
Everyone's like a little bit tipsy.
It's super cool. And everyone's having a great time. And kind of sort of for a moment at least forgetting about the world outside. Enjoying time bonding.
So you are greeted by this vision of, yeah, hundreds of people playing a massive game of pickup Blitzel Ball, which I'll hear a little bit of it now. Pull to the midfield! Hit the post, tower! Tower, Zitzel, Zitzel, go, go, go!
I wanted to say tower. That was the only thing I knew about Blitzel Ball, was that they would go for post. The tower.
I'm down, open,
down,
I'm open,
dig,
I'm
dig
open.
Up, dig up, dig up!
I'm
yes!
open.
Yes! Yes! Yes, you have to ignore the person who's open. That's all part of the... Yes, well, great.
Well
closed.
Done. Well done
I'm
for remembering. You never pass
closed.
The person that's open. That's very good.
Bash was always open. Bash was always, always open.
So true.
Bash wipes some sweat from her furrowed brow. Heron is terrible at Blitzer Ball, so he's sulking in the corner.
He's playing with the indoor kids.
Astra is in a corner tending to Andros, who is slowly recovering consciousness. She's feeding him some curry tentatively. But the vibe is fairly good. That is until all the primes in the room suddenly...
Amazon Prime going out. No.
Would you like to repeat your subscription?
Optimus Prime tries to hold out a hand. Autobots. Auto... gone.
The primes that do remain all begin to shut down. The acolytes and the members of the church... suddenly realise that there is no church leadership. Mr. E is gone. Mrs. S, Mr. N, nowhere to be found. Mrs. W is the sole person in the room. The primes are gone. And there is suddenly a collective anxiety. Bash is trying to control it. Why don't we play another round of Blitzel Ball? But this is starting to overtake every table, every acolyte, every paladin within the room as they suddenly realise that on this day, this holiest of days, this Christmas day, the slow... King's statue has moved. The primes are disabled. What is the Church of Slarslow? What are they doing? Some of them cry out. What is going on?
How can we be expected to be the church when the Slow King statue has moved?
You've distracted us long enough. We demand answers. Bash,
determine our religion.
But tell us about our religion. And Bash is like, okay, this is above my pay grade. Mrs. W is like, listen, there are many possible answers to what is happening today. This holy day, there's a big day. Maybe the Slow King is trying to give us a sign. And Mrs. W sees you guys ascending up from the channels like, thanks, Slow King. Okay, hello, everyone. How was that? Did you have fun down there? Was it good?
Fun. Oh, we had so much fun. Yeah, what a great bonding experience we all had. We learned we've got to sever those bonds in order
Listen,
to achieve our goals.
I am fascinated, and I cannot tell you how much I want to know what is actually down there within the Oz Conclave, because nobody has been there. Literally nobody has been there, and you have. But listen.
I'm going to tell you, more Pecco, and you're not going to believe me.
It's true, I don't. I think you're ribbing me, Brandy.
Also, sellotape, but you did expect that.
That's true, always sellotape. That's in every room of the church, Kenny.
Always be carrying sellotape.
Yeah, every acolyte is giving it to them on the first day.
On their bandoliers?
Yeah, exactly, 50 foot of
Theo,
rope.
Theo, check your bandolier.
Pitons.
That's right, it's sellotape. It's been there the whole time! It's been there the whole podcast!
I just thought this was sticky web.
Mrs. W's like, listen, they are getting restless out there. What happened? What is going on? Where is the owl?
Oh, Mrs. W, I know that we are always asking questions, but I really recommend you don't keep asking questions because the O is dead.
There's a hushed silence amongst the whole.
Theo whispers that, but it's never been louder.
You're actually at the point of the best acoustics.
Someone was using a loud red in the Blitzel Ball game, which happened to pick it up on one of their ears. Great. So it's just everyone in the room now stops what they're doing, stops mopping their sweaty brows, stops chatting about Blitzel Ball tactics, stops singing Christmas songs, the festivities and the festoonery is over, and the attention is now on you, Theo, as you were the one who spoke. You're the one whose voice has echoed, and as you stand in front of this Sloking statue, the Sloking statue that has moved for the first time in centuries, the entire Church of Slarslow looks to you, Theo. What do you say?
Oh, Shinks. Hi, everyone. Hello. My name is Theo. Hi there. Hi. Really don't need to do it. Oh, hi there. Hi.
Should we all say hi?
No more crowd interaction, actually. no more crowd interaction. I have really... My social batteries are very, very depleted, I will say. Everybody, you may not know me. My name is Theo, otherwise known as The Anomaly. I already said no crowd interaction. So, yeah.
Hundreds of people just mime like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That checks. Yeah. That's sometimes why.
So, I have been on a bit of a journey with the church. I'm sure many of you have as well over the last thousands of years. I thought I was leaving. And then I came here for the first time ever. I've never been within these walls, and I thought I had left this church for good, mainly because some of you in this room tried to kill me, although you have forgotten, so I will waive that for now. And I am now stood here, and I don't know what to do. I truly have no answers to anything. I have just seen the O die. I have discovered where the King's Rock is. I have found out maybe everything this faith has both tried to keep from me and reveal. And there are a lot of things this church is keeping from you all. A lot of secrets. And I think we need to change that. I think we need to expose a lot of information. The only thing I can tell you all at this moment is that this church was founded on the belief that none of us have the choice of how to live. Today, this Christmas, maybe we've gone some way to changing that, but somewhere out there are many people, some terrible people, who still believe we don't deserve the right to choice. We need to stop them somehow. This is the best base of operations we can ask for, so we want to stop Team Mystic, and we want to stop the Pokemon League, and we want to end the war that brought you all here, and we want to find the King's Rock, and we want to try and reunite Formia, and we may fail, but I need and want all of you to back us in this, because if I'm going to have to be alone at the end of this, I want to have a lot of people by my side before that point.
A single acolyte raises their hand.
I will now allow audience interaction. Yes, to the attractive French person over there.
Bonjour to you too.
I have but one question. What does Sloking want? Do you know?
All I can tell you all is that this church was either built on the belief in Sloking or on constantly challenging his belief and existence. And both of those are very valid ways of thinking. As to what he wants, I can only say that he has chosen this strange and wonderful man in a bow tie over here to guide us. And what this man wants more than anything is liberty. So I have to presume that we are all united in one cause, and that is to make sure that all of us in Formia have the right to make good and bad choices equally, as long as we are free to make them.
I think we're going to ask you to roll, Theo.
Oh, brilliant.
So take a plus one.
Okay. So I rolled a 4 and a 4 plus a 1 for a 9.
They'll do it, but only if you prove them that you mean it.
Okay. No, that's great. Well, how do you prove your dedication to Kenny in this moment?
Theo turns around to Kenny. They look Kenny in the eye and they say, Kenny, I have a feeling that at the end of this, one of us is going to be the one that breaks this unbreakable bond. And I beg of you, let that be me. Because this world needs you a lot more than it needs me.
Oh, Theo, I don't know if I have the strength to make that decision. What will be, will be.
Very well.
As that conversation happens, Brandy kind of feels the weight of the Destiny Bond lamp in her bag, weighing her down, and she just adjusts slightly.
There's a shift. But this tension is not picked up on by the crowd, because as you succeeded in the role, Theo, the entire Church of Slarslow salutes. What, David, as you were the one to create this religion and bring it into life 4 years ago, tell me now, what is the way that the Church of Slarslow shows their commitment to Theo, the O?
So the old salute for the church, which some people start doing, is sort of putting their hands together into a nice O. That was the old one. Sure. But some people are beginning to go, apparently our new leader is the sometimes Y. So we should start doing Y. And so we just hear a call of everyone going, oh, why? Oh, why?
Why?
Oh,
why?
Oh, why?
Oh, why?
Oh, why?
Oh, why?
Oh, why?
And the chorus overtakes the entire banquet hall as it fills to the rafters. The chinglings above are ringing their bells in celebration at this new proclamation, this declaration of support behind the Sirflotzels and their ultimate cause, their ultimate call of liberty.
Wow, that was an end to an arc. There's a lot to break down. Also, I find it very ironic that they joked about having post-end credits whilst watching the memories, but they do it all the time in these episodes. Did you know that? They always put bloopers at the end of these episodes? Well, this is my gift to you. Go and re-listen to all of these episodes and listen to the bloopers, including my remasters of Raindance and Summer Frenzy Plant. Oh yeah, you probably don't know my voice. Hello, I'm Carrie Morrison. I'm a podcast producer and editor and friend of the show. And Stuart gave me the ludicrous responsibility of me doing the ending, the ending babble as well. So cheers, Stu. Thank you for trusting me. And thank you to Critical Ditto for being a source of joy in people's lives. There's like a list of stuff I need to say. That was my dice I needed to move. I'm only going to record this once, so this is going to be a wonderful one take. So firstly, I need to thank all of the patrons, including myself, who support this podcast. So yay, I'm going to self-plug myself. Right, we have Mega Noodle, Zachary Turing, Eleanor Mihailov, Mr. Man, Anorak, Lord Toffee, not that Nick, the other Nick, you silly Billy. Brandon Wood, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Mark Smith, Brad Demon Dowker, Mike Cabbages, which I thought all this time was my space Cabbages, as a great Avatar The Last Airbender reference, probably still is. You are a genius, Mike Cabbages, love you. Dr. Rani, Jeremy's mum, DeGeezy or DeGeezy, you know, I'm sure you know the right one, but I don't. Alex W, Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Beth Chivers, Jam, Heather L. Snell, Betsy Lewin Lee, Darius Jakowski, Pokedash 55, Ellie Lieberman, Jeremy. Oh look, it's me, Carrie Morrison. Hire me, please. Scott M. with an exclamation mark, Dr. Megaman PhD, Heikely, Kaiko Pin Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Josh Anderson, Alchemage, Cesar Trevino, Force Majeure, Crandon Creations, Eric Eichinger, Millamoy, Ginny Voss, and Alistair Collinson. Thank you all for supporting this podcast. If you want to become a patron, support the show, be on the show, get bonus content, and much, much more, you can go to patreon.com/criticalditto for more information. If not, just rate the show. It's mega bants. Tell your friends about it. As always, Nagatomika Sans, creator of TTRPG Monster of the Week, the game system they use for the show that they've hacked. Thank you to our music and sound effects team, Glish X City, who is wonderful. I follow her on Twitch. Epidemic Sound. Also, thank you to Braxton Burks and the Material Collective for the amazing music that I use all the time. Thank you to Janishi Masuda and Satoshi Tajiri for creating Pokemon. You have changed my life for life. Just simple facts. We are not affiliated with the Pokemon Company and we are not for profit. So please don't sue us. Follow the team at Critical Ditto on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to the boys, Stu, David, Tom and Ali. And I guess the last thing I need to say is go catch them all. And by all, I mean just be yourself. You just need to step into the tall grass.
Have you managed to void your bowels? Oh, no.
Oh, still, he's no. Downstairs, the plumber, still.
I really want the plumber to come upstairs and be like, holy sh**, you're the Critical Ditto guy. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing your toilet, mate.